We're live. So if you are part of our audience for the Plant Your Seeds of Transformation podcast from previous episodes, welcome back. For those of you who are new here live or watching in the future, welcome for the first time. What you can expect here is to hear from a Black woman leader who is a high achiever and a recovering perfectionist. And I say recovering perfectionist because I'm not perfect at not being perfectionistic. I know that I have some work to do still, and it's a daily process, and I'm good with that. I understand that it takes time to get better. And that's the whole premise for why I have I've decided to use this platform to speak on the topic of Black women leaders being perfectionistic. This is a thing. It's a cultural thing. I'm sure that we're not the only ones who this is a cultural thing for, but because that's who I am, I can speak on this. A lot of times Black women leaders, we just try to do too much or the most, whatever way you want to, you know, say that. Sometimes we just do too much and it can cost us dearly, especially as we mature in life, and we have more responsibilities, more roles to take on, especially as we get older and our priorities start to shift a little bit because we're not taking care of little kids anymore. We're not, we may be starting to take care of parents or other loved ones who need our support. Being a perfectionist as a caregiver, that is a recipe for disaster. And not just for you, because if you're not taking care of you because you're being a perfectionist about everything, how in the world can you be a good caregiver to take care of somebody else? This is something that I had to come to terms with at different points. I talked about it on the last episode, what kind of led me down the road of deciding that I needed to let go of perfectionism. I talked about that some. So I hope you'll check it out. The Plant Your Seeds of Transformation podcast can be found on all of the different podcasting platforms, including YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. The quickest way to see all the different information about the show is to just go to plantyourseeds.show. plantyourseeds.show. That is our show notes website. You'll be able to see things I've talked about in the past in my solo sessions, which is what I'm doing right now for season four. I don't have any guests at this time, but for the past seasons, when I have had guests, you'll be able to check out those previous episodes too. So I hope you go to plantyourseeds.show to check out those prior episodes. Also, if you want to support the show financially, plantyourseeds.show is where you can do that. You can learn more about how to support the show financially, how to support our affiliate marketing partners. And this can help to move the show forward and make it even better. Right now, I'm a solo producer for this show. My company is Lead Like a Queen Coaching and Consulting LLC. And my company is the producer for this podcast. So that means that I'm responsible for all of this. I don't have a problem with that. This is a labor of love. And to make it better, to make sure that it's reaching even more people who need to hear the message that I have regarding being a Black woman leader recovering from trauma, I need help. I need for you to like, comment, share, turn on notifications. I need for you to put a review if a review is available on the platform you're listening to, such as Apple Podcasts. You can select the number of stars you want to use and put in a comment. Any support that you would like to give to see this podcast grow is much appreciated. Definitely very grateful for you taking the time to listen and pay attention and share with other people. I am kind of still in a revamping mode. Season four is a little different than before because my life has become a lot different than before. And I shared about some of those things in previous episodes. But for this episode, our goal and our focus is to make sure that we dig down deeper into this topic of how you can survive and thrive after dealing with traumas and crises. And I say plural traumas, plural crises, because many Black women leaders, it's just like compounded stuff going on with your own self, with family, with loved ones, might even be a pet. You know, maybe you had some health stuff going on, then all of a sudden your pet got sick or even died. And I have heard some stories like that recently that broke my heart. People who were seeking to get their own physical health and well-being in order. Once they started doing that, their pet declined and passed. And I was very sad to hear. I have some good friends who went through that. And it was so sad to hear, you know, because pets do become part of your family or like your children. And so whenever you have compound crises and traumas, bouncing back takes a bit more effort. It takes a bit more work. And also you can benefit from preparation so that when you need that higher resilience, you'll be more prepared to be able to have higher resilience. And so I want to talk to you about some things that I think can help you. So let me take a look at my notes and I can share with you all what I recommend. Now, I've talked about this in passing in past episodes, but I hadn't yet dug down a little deeper into this topic. So that's what I'm going to do today, is I'm going to dig down a little bit deeper into this topic of practical things that you can do to make sure that you are prepared to be more resilient. Now, you cannot predict disasters, traumas, crises. You can't predict them. The only thing you can do is know for sure they're going to happen. That you can predict that it's going to happen. But when it's going to happen, we don't know. And worrying yourself to death about things that you don't know, that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to become perfectionistic about becoming resilient. That's not the goal. The goal is just to understand some things better, to get yourself to where you get some truths for yourself that can set you free and help you to move day by day by day by day from whenever the trauma crisis happened to whatever it is the next day and the next day and the next day. You do not want to become perfectionistic about becoming resilient because you cannot predict it. Everything is uncertain. You can't predict what's going to happen. You can just take care of yourself better inside. And then let that manifest on the outside by the way that you respond once things happen. That's my goal here, to help you kind of process through some of that, think through some of that. So I shared with you all in the past 9 months or so that our family has been through major traumas, crises that really, really impacted us really strongly. So that's enough about me. I want you to think about you. What is resilience and what can that look like for you? What is resilience? A definition of resilience means it's an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. But that's only one definition. Check out this other one. I kind of like this other definition better. The capability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after deformation caused especially by compressive stress. I kind of like that definition because, and I used this expression previously, I don't know if y'all know what a crucible is. If you've ever done scientific experiments like in a chemistry class, they will have a container that is airtight. It's very strong, made of very strong material. You can put something in it and twist it closed and put it over heat and see what the stuff in it turns into after you put it under that kind of pressure. And that airtight sealed container and heat what comes out can be a completely new substance. You can put one element or combination of elements or chemicals inside it. And when you open that thing up after you've heated it, you have something completely different, or you can kill yourself. So don't do that. Don't do that at home. If you don't know what you're doing, don't try to do anything like that. And you see people on YouTube doing crazy stuff like that all the time, but I digress. But anyway, you want to make sure that when you're in that crucible, when things are just piling on you, when things are becoming more compressed and more compressed in you, you want to make sure that what comes out of that is not destructive, but helps you to transform into being a better you. Okay. So I don't know if that analogy makes any sense for any of you. I am a nerd. I have my degree in biology, pre-medicine. I had a chemistry minor. I understand these things. Y'all may not understand that. So I'll think of some other analogies to bring to you. But let's put it this way. You want to make sure that the pressure and the stress that comes out of the trauma and the crises, traumas and crises that are piling up in your life, you want to make sure that as you climb from up underneath all of that, that you're transformed inside, and that that transformation inside brings you newness in your life, brings good things in your life over time. I'm not saying you're expected to be perfect dealing with trauma or crisis. I'm not saying you're expected to just poof the next day, you're just a new person or just able to, leap a tall building in a single bound. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that over time, as you keep growing and learning, growing as a person and learning more about yourself, not just more about other people, learning more about yourself, understanding yourself better, that you're able to see things in a whole different way because you are changing. That's the outcome, the ideal outcome you want as you recover from trauma. It will not happen overnight. It takes time. But that's the ultimate goal. You want to be transformed after these traumas and crises. You don't want them to kill you. Okay? That's not the goal. We're not trying to let circumstances, things, or even people kill us by causing us so much stress that we just break down. And unfortunately, we see this happen over and over and over again in our own families. I know I've seen it in my family, people who are grieving, who break down and they lose their lives way too early because they don't know how to be resilient and recover after the stress and trauma of losing their closest loved ones. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. I don't want all the things I've been through to kill me. So I had to make a decision to do some things a little differently to help me. So that's what I'm sharing with you today. So again, resilience means the ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. I don't really like that phrase, adjust easily. There's no such thing. It's not going to be easy, period. That's just the truth. I do like this definition, the capability of a strained body to recover. I won't say its size and shape, but to recover after deformation caused especially by compressive stress. We talked about that crucible, something that puts so much pressure on you that you could explode or you could just come out changed. Okay, we don't want to explode. We want to come out changed. So I hope that makes some sense. All right, so we talked about what resilience is. Now I want you to think about how do you see yourself and what you've been through compared to these definitions. Now this is a good journal prompt, and we're going to talk about journaling in a moment. This is a really good journal prompt. Write down these definitions. You can just look that up on Google. What I read to you, that's on Google, the definition of resilience. When thinking about what resilience is, how do you see yourself and what you've been through compared to these definitions? That's a wonderful journal prompt. Now, let's talk about journaling. How can journaling help you cultivate better resilience? Now, I've talked about this in previous episodes this year and in previous seasons. Sorry, I'm distracted by this cute little bird that flew up in. Okay, anyway, stop being distracted, Donna. Journaling is something that I have recommended over and over and over again throughout all the seasons of podcasting that I've been doing. Journaling. It is a journal that you put action to by making sure you are consistently journaling in your journal. Journaling is not just about having a book full of a whole bunch of blank pages that you never use. And nowadays, some people do video journaling or even audio memo note journaling. Journaling doesn't always have to be pen on paper, but a combination of both audio video journaling and paper journaling can be really helpful too. Me personally, I used to just do paper journaling only, but I found that when I'm really busy, I don't always have time. If I'm driving, long distances every single day, I'm probably not going to be remembering to write in my paper journal. So I started doing video journals. I record myself. And even if I never look at those videos again, I just record myself. I get things off of my mind. And that's helpful. Some people call that a purging type of journaling where you just kind of get your thoughts out there. Some people call it dumping. Some people call it brainstorming, where you write down a whole bunch of ideas or thoughts that you're having, write down, or if you do it in video or audio version, talk. So journaling is an activity. Having a journal to just look pretty in your bookshelf or on your table, it's not going to do you any good. So if you're going to invest time and money into creating or finding a journal for yourself, you might as well use it. So here's the other point I want to make sure. Actually, let me backtrack. How can journaling help you cultivate better resilience? Let's attack that before I get into these other details. Developing more self-awareness for yourself means that you listen to your own heart better instead of only relying on what other people tell you about yourself. And when you're a person that survived traumas or crises, this becomes even that much more important for you to be able to listen to your own heart. Because usually during these times are the times where you have to make extremely important decisions that only you are responsible for. And if somebody else is trying to influence you and convince you to do what they want you to do, but ultimately you're the one that's got to pay the price for that choice of decision, no, we don't want that. We want you to be empowered to listen to your own heart and make your own decisions. So self-awareness is what we're talking about. Self-awareness means that you're listening to your own heart. Journaling can help you develop your self-awareness more by helping you to visually see your thoughts, or in terms of video or audio journaling, to hear or see your thought processes. Journaling is not for judging yourself. Now, in the previous episode, I discussed a reading suggestion, a book recommendation. Actually, I suggested several different books, but one of those books I recommend higher than all of the others in terms of being more compassionate, more understanding, and more compassionate of your own self. A lot of times, I won't lie, I do this, especially when you're a perfectionist, right? You're critical of yourself. That's just part of who you are. You feel that self-improvement is being critical of yourself because that's probably what was modeled for you. That's probably what your mentors, leaders, parents modeled for you, being self-critical. But I challenge you on that. Being self-critical is not self-awareness, it's not self-help. It's just judgment that can end up causing you problems later. So I highly recommend, if that's a problem for you, where you have been extremely self-critical and judgmental of yourself and not easily forgiving of yourself for your past mistakes, that's something that you need to work through in therapy for sure. And I highly recommend seeking out a therapist who uses a therapy, I guess they call it a therapy modality. I'm not sure because I'm not a therapist, but I think they call what I'm about to tell you some type of therapeutic modality. This is the way that they do therapy. If you can find somebody that uses internal family systems, I talked about this in the last episode, not going to go into a lot of detail. It's called internal family systems. Google it. And that may be the kind of therapy that you need to help you be more understanding and more compassionate of yourself. So back to what I was saying, journaling can help you develop self-awareness by helping you to see your thoughts better. But it's not for judging yourself. It is for helping you understand yourself better. So these are the foundational things that you need so that you can be more resilient. Without understanding yourself better, it's much harder to be resilient because you're going to be probably second guessing some of your choices. Anybody ever done that before? I have. You're probably going to be berating yourself. If you're a perfectionist or a recovering perfectionist, you may have a tendency to berate yourself, to beat up on yourself for things that you did in the past, choices you made in the past, or even maybe even thoughts or words you said. Being self-critical to the point where it is not healthy for you, it's definitely something that could use some therapeutic intervention. Coaching won't really help you with dealing with stuff in the past. No, coaching will not help you deal with stuff in the past. Coaching is not for dealing with stuff in the past. If you find that you have things such as being too self-critical, holding you back from moving forward, you need to think about getting some therapy for that and maybe take some action on finding a therapist that can help you. Now, regarding the other thing about journaling I wanted to share with you is this. There are practical steps to creating a journaling practice that promotes resilience. Number one, do it the same time every day or every week if you're just doing it weekly. When you engage in co-working, and I've shared about this in previous episodes, co-working is the time to come together with like-minded people, and you all are the way that I taught our group to do it is that we have a very structured format and everybody gets the opportunity to work on whatever is important to them in silence. Everybody mutes themselves, and we have dedicated segments of time where we just work on whatever it is that's important for us. We're not all in the same business or company, or we are all in our own separate lanes. We do our own things, but we come together to support each other with this process of co-working so that we can each and every one of us get whatever it is that's important to us done. Co-working is a great place to use journaling because it gives you a specific date and a specific time to work on your journaling. So I just wanted to put that out there. Co-working can be a great place for you to do journaling, be it writing in a journal or creating a video or an audio memo, whatever way that works for you for your journaling. So do it at the same time, every day if it's daily or every week. Engaging in co-working is just one of the ways to help you develop that consistency, because the co-working group that we have that I've shared about with you all before, it meets at certain specific days and times. Actually, it's every weekday and Saturday. It's the only day we don't meet is Sunday. Now, this is another thing. And to me, this is kind of the fun part of journaling. Here's another thing. So the tip number one was about consistent schedule with your journaling. Tip number two is use a dedicated journal just for that specific goal of recovering from trauma or crisis. Use a specific, if you have another journal that you're using to work on a specific project, like let's say that you're doing, you have an art project. Let's say you're an artist and you have an art project you're working on. You don't want to incorporate this kind of journaling with that. That's two completely separate journals, okay? You'll have your journal for your sketches or your ideas for your artwork. And then you'll have a separate journal just for tracking these things that you're dealing with regarding building more self-awareness and more resilience, okay? So here we go. This is the fun part. You have this dedicated journal, right? What does it look like? Make your journal fit with your aesthetic that pleases your eyes and your senses. If it's a video journal, decide on what way you're going to do that. If you're going to do it from your phone, your computer, you decide which way works best for you. Me personally, I just love to use my iPhone. That's what works for me because I've always got it in my hand. So if I'm going to do a video journal, that's what I'm pulling out because I can consistently do that. But for those of you who aren't into that, if you have a paper journal and it's just like one of those, I wish I had mine with me. I didn't bring mine with me today. But if you've ever been to even just the grocery store, they sell these black and white journals. They have a cover on them. It's usually got like almost like a cow print, speckled black and white all over the cover and has a space to write your name and maybe the title of whatever the project is going to be for that specific journal. That's a very good place to start with journals because they're usually pretty cheap, like a dollar or less. Sometimes you can buy them at the dollar store probably. That's a great place to start with a journal. But you can get a lot fancier than that with journals. Sometimes journals even have covers with glitter on them, or they may have some type of fuzzy texture that you enjoy touching. Journals can get super fancy. If you ever go, one of my favorite places to shop for journals is at Target. Target always has a beautiful selection of journals. Staples sometimes has decent selection of journals. They can get a little pricey though, because many times theirs are incorporated with planners. There's nothing wrong with having a journal with the planner. As a matter of fact, I do recommend if you're working on something that's extremely focused, like let's say right now I'm working on a project where I'm assisting an adult who needs help with getting a whole bunch of different paperwork together, making a lot of phone calls, things like that. So having a journal that includes a planner has been extremely helpful so that we can remember the days and times that we made specific calls or went to certain places or whatever. Those things, those types of journals that include a calendar, include weekly planner pages, you know, where you can put for each day what tasks you're going to be doing or that you have done. That kind of journaling can be extremely helpful when you're working on things that are very time specific and time intensive. But one of my favorite things is to have just a pretty journal that has cool features in it. Some of the journals that I've purchased have little folders in the back. So let's say that you pick up a photo of yourself as a child and you want to include that with your journal. Remember, I talked about earlier internal family systems as a therapeutic mode that some therapists use. Sometimes they have us look at pictures of ourselves and think of what happened in the past and look at ourselves in a more compassionate way, like literally look at ourselves, look at our baby or picture from a childhood time. And so having a little folder in the back of your journal that has a Velcro or some other kind of clasp or closing on it to put photos in, having a journal like that could be great. You can also embellish your journal. So let's say you get one of those little composition books from the grocery store that's like a dollar and has the black and white cover. You can get out your arts and crafts. You can add glitter, you can add fuzz, you can add whatever you want to it. But you can also even open the back and put like an envelope, staple or tape or glue an envelope to the inside cover of the book. And you'll have a place to put pictures or something in. So these are just some ideas that I find to be, it makes me excited. You know, I love journals. I think journals are fantastic. So whatever you decide to do with your journal, make sure it fits with your aesthetic, with what makes you happy. You want it to be something that brings you joy. Now, for those people who like me, like digital stuff, in addition to video journaling or audio journaling, you can also use a notes app on your phone. Now, in the iPhone, there's a native app called Notes. I think it's called Notes, right? And the Notes app is for free. It just comes with it. So you don't have to worry about trying to pay for, there are some new fancy journaling apps that you can spend money on. And I believe iOS 16 now has a journal app. Haven't used it yet, so I can't recommend it. I love the Notes app because you can organize it into folders. Now let's get into the next topic. If you're using a digital notes app or journaling app in your phone or your tablet or on your computer, make sure you organize any digital notes into folders or use tags so that you can locate your entries when you need to review them. This is extremely important because digital stuff can build up so fast and become overwhelming really quickly. But if you have it organized, it'll make a world of difference. One day I may do, even if I don't do my own video to demonstrate all of this type of stuff to you, I may be able to find a tutorial video on YouTube, or you can search for that yourself, a tutorial video on YouTube of how to use these types of apps. Journaling apps, note-taking apps. I know for sure that there are YouTube tutorial videos that other people have made that'll teach you about things like that if that's important to you. And I'm also sure there are probably some TikTok apps on how to make your own journal or embellish your own journal. These are practical things that you can do to help you build more self-awareness. And as you build more self-awareness and become more understanding and compassionate of yourself, you will become more resilient. You'll bounce back, not necessarily quicker, not necessarily easier, but you will bounce back more effectively and it will stick. Because when you write things down, and this is true for any part of life, okay, be it in school, or just taking an online, you know, seminar. When you write stuff down, you remember it. I believe that God has made us to remember things better when we document it, when we write it down, or even if you just make a video or an audio memo about it. There's something about your memory recall. It's impacted, it's affected in a different way when you actively do things to help yourself remember that information or that experience or whatever, versus if you just sit there like a monk on a log and listen to something and you never take any notes, never write anything down, you're not going to remember that, not as effectively as if you do write it down. You may remember some things, but not as effectively. Let me give you an example. When I was in graduate school, I would listen to the material and then I would go back. I would just listen and not take any notes. Then I would go back and take notes and I would have perfect recall. Now, we did have open book tests too, but they were timed. So if you couldn't find what's in your book or in your notes within the time allotted, it didn't do you any good. So taking notes helped me to recall where I saw the information, information faster and be able to respond to the question faster and get through that test. I had A's, honors, when I graduated from my master's degree program in executive leadership. And part of that was because of my study methods. So that's one thing that I can definitely talk about as a coach and as a leadership development trainer. I can teach about how to learn something, how to remember things. That's something that I'm good at. And that's something that I have experience with. I know how it is to help yourself remember things better. So wrapping this up in a nutshell, when you are developing more resiliency, that resiliency comes from what's already in you. It's not coming from external. Nobody can make you resilient. You build resiliency within yourself over time. So the more and the better you can remember the things you learned before that trauma or crisis happened, the easier you can recall those things and encourage yourself once those things happen. So that's why I'm saying journaling is one of the most effective things that you can do now to prepare yourself to be more resilient later. This is a long game, y'all. There is no short answer. There's no shortcut for dealing with trauma and crisis recovery in a way that you can come out of it better than before. There's no shortcut. You do it by preparing inside your heart, your mind. You prepare beforehand. And that's how you become more resilient after the stuff hits the fan. So this episode was a bit more structured than my first two, because I wanted to make sure that I broke down the practicality of this thing of journaling for you. I'm not just recommending journaling because I love journaling and I think it's a great idea. I'm recommending it because I know for myself that it can help you be more resilient later when the stuff hits the fan. I know it. I hope you believe me. But you know, you can always do some research on your own. And that's what I recommend. Do research on your own. Learn more about these things on your own. Think about that journaling prompt I gave you, okay? When thinking about what resilience is, how do you see yourself and what you've been through compared to these definitions? Again, those definitions are an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. And my favorite definition is the capability of resilience is the capability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after deformation caused especially by compressive stress. Who are you going to be when it's all over, when the dust is cleared? Who are you going to be? What happens after the pressure? What happens inside of you? How are you going to look after? All of that depends on what you're doing before that stuff even happens. I pray that this makes sense to somebody. Please let me know. If you want to reach out to me, the easiest way to do that is by going to plantyourseeds.show to the contact form area. But you can also, of course, reach out to me on social media. I am probably not going to respond. I'll just be honest about it because I just can't handle all of this on my own. I'm the producer for this podcast, and I have a life outside of this. The easiest way to reach out to me is through plantyourseeds.show. And if you know me personally, of course, you can reach out to me personally. But for those of you who I don't know, haven't met, the easiest way to reach me is plantyourseeds.show. There's a contact form there, and I do read those messages. Yes, I do. All right. This is, again, episode 3 of season 4 for the Plant Your Seeds of Transformation podcast, produced by Lead Like a Queen Coaching and Consulting LLC, Lead Like a Queen. And our social media is at Lead Like a Queen. And I am Coach Donna Marie. You can find me at coachdonnamarie.com. and see all of these links there too at coachdonnamarie.com. That's my one-page profile with all my social media links and about everything that I'm doing. Oh, and I mentioned in the last episode that I have a coaching program. And if you become a Patreon member, you can become part of that. The cheapest level for that, the cheapest tier for that is $3. I think it starts at $3. Don't quote me on that. That price could change too. That's not guaranteed in stone. But as of right now, when I looked at it, it still said $3. This is your invitation to join us for co-working. This is your invitation to join us for journaling prompts beyond the one I gave today. This is your invitation to join my coaching program if you want more intense help with pursuing a specific goal. I can't help you with dealing with recovery from trauma, but I can help you with moving forward towards your goal, towards a specific goal after you've started recovering from trauma. That's what I do, and I'd love to help you. God bless you. Please check out the show notes at plantyourseeds.show. They'll be available later. Take care. Bye-bye now.